I'm Jesse. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November 29th, 2009. I have two home groups, this one and Monday Night Speakers. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. And thank you, Annie, for asking me to speak tonight. I'm very honored whenever I get to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. I guess I will briefly run through what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's not special. I just like the fact that I wasn't born in Florida. I've lived in Florida pretty much all my life. I was born to two, you know, really amazing parents who love me very much. They got divorced when I was three. Really doesn't affect my alcoholism, just makes me like everybody else. My father moved to Tampa. My mother lived in Fort Myers, and I lived with her for the majority of my life till I was about 11. She is an active alcoholic and an addict. And so it was pretty interesting growing up there. You know, she came from a lot of money, and I was raised in two completely different households. You know, my dad came from nothing and had a strong work ethic and was my best friend. My birth mother came from money, and that fixed all your problems no matter what you did. And, you know, we didn't really get along too well. I always felt weird and different with her. You know, I felt like the kind of Cinderella person. You know, I was always watching my little sisters. I never really got anything. They got everything. And I felt just, you know, like she hated me because I wasn't, you know, birthed by the guy she was living with. And so I lived with her till I was about 11, and her addiction and everything just got so bad to the point where my dad finally stepped in and came and got me. And my father and I have always had a tremendous relationship. My stepmom has been in my life since I was three, and, you know, she's an amazing woman. She's the reason I know right from wrong. She's the reason that I am the woman that stands in front of you today, in addition to Alcoholics Anonymous. But, you know, so I moved in with my parents when I was about 11, and, you know, I did everything with them. You know, I fished with my dad. I helped him remodel houses while he was building his practice. He's a doctor, and, you know, I just watched them and how they lived and compared that to the way that my birth mother was, and I loved it, and I respected it, and I wanted to be like that more than anything in the world. You know, I always felt kind of weird, especially, like, I was in private school my whole life, and then I was dropped into public school at that, like, 11, 12-year-old age where everything is really, like, important and developmental. And I felt weird and different. Like, I never felt pretty enough or skinny enough or tall enough or cool enough or, like, I never felt Hispanic enough or white enough or whatever it was. I just was never enough. And I was always, like, a weird little kid. Like, I had these little fantasy worlds that I lived in. I was always playing in the corner by myself with no toys. And, like, I was afraid of everything. I had these walls up my whole life. Like, I was scared, you know, to be in the store shopping and couldn't find my size, and I'd just be like, well, you know, F this, we're out of here. I wouldn't ask for help because I was terrified of everyone. Like, I hated being in the grocery store with my mom when she would try and find stuff, and I was just like, no, don't ask them. Like, we can't talk to them. And, so, you know, I lived with my dad, and things were really good up until I hit about 15, and, you know, my parents were really protective of me for good reason. But when I hit about 15, and, you know, my friends are doing stuff, and I'm not allowed to, and I'm getting really, really angry at my parents who are making me have, like, I had a 10 o'clock curfew till I was, like, 18, and for good reason. But I wanted to be like everybody else, you know. I wanted to be driving around with my friends who all had licenses, or older brothers and sisters who had licenses, and I just wasn't allowed to. So I got really, like, angry at my parents, and, you know, alcohol was always around. I knew what addiction was. I knew what alcoholism was, kind of. Like, I remember, you know, my mom coming in and out of the program, and I really thought AA was a joke because it clearly didn't work for her. But I learned a lot coming in here, like, you know, when we say it works if you work it, like, that's true, and it's blatantly true. But so, I mean, it was always around, and I thought you either drank like my mother or you drank like my father, who didn't drink ever, and then you had, like, you know, that. And so when I was about 15, I was allowed to go to this little, like, shindig that goes on in Tampa every year called Gasparilla, and I went for the first time without my parents. It was really exciting, and I had, you know, it definitely wasn't my first drink, but it was my first drunk, and it was my first blackout, and it was my first experience with, like, I was popular, I was the life of the party, everybody, you know, the parts I remember, everybody wanted to hang out with me. But it was also my first experience, you know, going to school the next day and having people tell me what I did, and I was just, no, like, no, there's no way I did that. Okay, that's a little skeezy, you know, I was raised with good values, I don't do things like that. And, but I didn't care, because people were talking to me, it was so cool, you know, like, I was cool for 30 seconds, and I loved that. Like, I felt like I fit in. And especially, you know, I wasn't allowed to do those things, so I strived for that. And I got this, like, love affair with alcohol where I would, you know, go to these parties and lie to my parents and tell them I was going to the movies and have someone pick me up, and we'd go out drinking, and I'd come home, or I'd get dropped back off at the movies and, like, spray myself with cologne and try and act not drunk and talk to my mom and tell her about this movie that I didn't even see. And, you know, I just started lying all the time to my parents, and they, you know, they taught me better than that, and they could see right through it, too. I don't even know why they put up with it for so long. But that's, you know, and I always got really good grades. Like, I've always been very fortunate that I can retain information. I would sit in school, didn't do my homework, still got straight A's. But now I threw this whole, like, thing where I was sneaking out every night, and I was staying up all hours, and I was sleeping in class and not paying attention. Therefore, the test would come along, I would fail, and my grades just, like, plummeted. And, you know, my parents were like, listen, ready, set, you're grounded, all the time. And I hated that. So I discovered at about, like, 17, if I went to my mom's on the weekend, I could do whatever I wanted. Because she, you know, I had this theory that she had no right to tell me what to do. You know, she's an alcoholic. She's a bad mom. And I took advantage of that completely. And every single weekend until I graduated high school, that's what I did. I went to Fort Myers, and I did whatever I wanted. Absolutely just no rules. Because I would go from this, like, completely caged life that I had basically, you know, developed for myself to this just utter freedom. You know, I'd be 16 years old, no curfew, driving around in some stupid car that I had no business being in, because 16-year-olds should not drive $50,000 cars, which is a bad idea. And so that's what I did. And I managed kind of with the helpful forcing of my father to get a, you know, pretty much almost a full ride to FSU. I got up there. It was like, I spent the whole summer in Fort Myers, by the way. And got up to FSU and was like, I don't know about all this. So I spent 24 hours there, turned around and left. School hadn't even started. And I moved all my stuff up, turned around and left. And I was dating, you know, this guy, and we were going to get married. And I was like, no, I can't be far away from you. And my parents can watch what I do if I'm at FSU. But if I move to Fort Myers, I'm with my mom. You know, it's cool. And so that's what I did. And I, you know, I firmly convinced myself that I was going to enroll in school there. I was going to, you know, you know, keep my scholarship. I was going to do all this stuff. I was going to be a marketing major. It was going to be awesome. Not so much. Like, just event after event happened, and I just never got back to school. And I kind of just lived crazy for a few years. Like, did whatever I wanted, got involved with, you know, got arrested, got involved with drugs, did a lot of just stupid things, and thought my life was really pretty much together. And so eventually, like, it got to the point where my parents stepped in and they were like, listen, you need to move here now or don't be a part of this family. So they moved me to St. Petersburg, and I was like, okay, you know, things will get better. I'll get a bank account again. I'll clear up my criminal record. Like, it's the place. Like, it's Fort Myers. My mom lived in Fort Myers. Like, that's what's wrong with it. And so I moved to St. Pete, and, you know, my drinking career took off. That's all I did. Like, I was working for my dad. He's a chiropractor. I was showing up to work hungover, late, putting patients on therapy. Like, I could have cost him his license if I did something to hurt one of those people, and I just did not care. Like, I couldn't show up for anything. I couldn't show up for myself, let alone my family, who, like, for whatever reason, I just thought, like, they would always be there. You know, my dad always bailed me out. No matter what the problem was, he always had my back. He's my best friend. My stepmom, I used to cry and beg her not to let me go back to stay with my birth mom, and I basically told her, you know, where to put it, because I wanted to be with Cindy because I could party there. And so I spent 2 years just running my life into the ground. I had this tremendous opportunity to go to school and to do something that I'm so beyond passionate about, and I couldn't show up for it, and I was absolutely terrified. I couldn't stop drinking. I can't even tell you. I think I can count on two hands the number of times I have not blacked out drinking, and I've been drinking since I was 15. Like, every single time. I was waking up not knowing where I was, making sure I had my clothes on. Like, that was the first thought. And that was scary and sickening to wake up and have to think like that. And I didn't know what to do. Like, I'd always thought, like, I've got this under control. I don't have a problem. And it wasn't until I came here that I realized, like, in reading more about alcoholism and reading the doctor's opinion in our book, that I realized, like, this is real and I have this. Like, it's not a joke that, you know, I thought, oh, my mom's just not strong enough. No, it's the real deal. And my aunt, who's been in the program for 12 years, brought me to a meeting, and I'm so grateful for her, because if she hadn't done it, I didn't go that day, I never would have come in. And, you know, I'd always put up these walls and said no to everyone and didn't want to be friends with anyone. And about a week into sobriety, this little girl asked me if I wanted to go to coffee after a meeting, and I didn't say yes. My higher power, that I like to call God, said yes, because, you know, I really, like, I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in any of that stuff. We were, like, neighbors, but not really friends, me and God. And just coming into this program, like, I've gotten so many crazy experiences, and I love the God stories now. Like, I thought they were so stupid, but I love them. You know, that same week, and you know, I went to coffee with that girl, and she's become one of my best friends, you know, and I firmly believe that if I didn't go with her that day, I probably wouldn't have stuck around. Like, I probably would have been like, y'all are crazy, I can't relate to you, I'm out. You know, you guys look way too good to hang out with me. And, you know, so I just dove right in, and Alcoholics Anonymous got me. Like, I fell head over heels in love with this program and what it's given me. You know, I got to start school to be a hairdresser, and I'm almost halfway done with it. And it is something that I could talk about it for, like, days and days and days, because I love it. You know, I get to hang out with my dad and my mom these days, and it's so cool to just sit and BS with my dad and go fishing with him and, you know, do remodeling projects and stuff, and they want to hang out with me. You know, they fired me from the job I was working at, and I work there now. And, I mean, just, and the girls that I sponsor, just seeing them, you know, the little time that they have, just watching them change that much, like, it's the most amazing experience. And because of this program, I get to be a human being today. You know, Jessie doesn't care about anyone or anything but herself. And it is not in my nature to pick up the phone when somebody's calling me, number one, let alone to be like, yeah, I'll pick you up. I'll help you out. Whatever you need, no problem. You know, I wouldn't even answer the phone. My voicemail, I kind of need to change it, because it says something about, like, leave a message or I won't call you back, because that was my escape, you know? I would be like, well, they don't leave a message, I don't have to call them back. Now everyone does, and I have to call you all back. But, I mean, it really, like, it's given me my life back, and a life that was beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I get to feel today. Like, I get to do the bad stuff. I get to have the negative emotions, but because of that, I get to have the happy and the joyous and just friends that are real friends, not, you know, my buddies that I would hang out with that none of them call me anymore. Weird. But, you know, people that I love, like, and I get to say that to a girlfriend or even to a guy friend, like, I love you, and I really mean it, like, and they mean it back. And, you know, I'm just so completely head over heels in love with Alcoholics Anonymous, and just I'm, like, beyond excited to see the journey that it's going to take me on, because looking back in hindsight, like, my life is beyond my wildest dreams. So, thank you.